stories, Iran's president says almost all main sanctions on Tehran have been lifted, adding that talks on the revival of the 2015 nuclear deal continue on some details. The Turkish president denounces Israel's, quote, abominable attacks on Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds. Also ahead, Scottish First Minister pledges to hold another independence referendum as she wins a fourth term in office. Welcome to the program. Iran's president says almost all main sanctions on Tehran have been lifted, noting that talks on the revival of the 2015 nuclear deal continue on some details. Hassan Rouhani made the remark one day after the fourth round of talks on reviving the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action began on Friday in Vienna. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif says the United States has an obligation to help salvage the agreement, which it abandoned in 2018. Zarif said Washington was the one who pulled out of the agreement and violated its commitments under Security Council Resolution 2231. He said President Joe Biden should now decide whether the U.S. continues lawlessness or adheres to the law. This comes one day after Biden raised doubts about Tehran's seriousness with regard to the revival of the talks. Political commentator Ramiro Funes says he's cautiously optimistic about the lifting of U.S. sanctions on Iran.
Seeing the sanctions lifted are a huge victory. However, we also have to be cautious. We have to be aware of the fact that Biden and the Obama administration, the Democrats, during Obama's presidency, they still sought for regime change in Iran. They still supported the NGOs, the Color Revolution-style uprisings against Iran. And so on the one hand, while we have to celebrate this as a victory for the people of Iran, to be able to trade, to be able to develop and lift more people out of poverty, we also have to remain vigilant that the White House will try new maneuvers against the people of Iran to implement regime change, which is ultimately what they want. We have to remain vigilant.
A position belonging to a Palestinian resistance group in the besieged Gaza Strip has reportedly come under Israeli artillery attack at just past 4 a.m. in Gaza Strip. Our correspondent there, Ashraf Shannon, joins us to tell us more about the incident. Ashraf, over to you, please.
Yes, Arash. According to witnesses in the area, Israeli tanks targeted a Hamas security post east of the central Gaza Strip town of Deir el-Balah, while the Israeli regime announced that an Israeli warplane hit that same security post. It's possible that the Israeli regime used tanks and airplane to hit that security post, although no injuries were reported in the area. The Israeli regime claims the attack was a response for a rocket that was fired earlier. But during the past hours, young Palestinians were flying incendiary balloons in the east of the enclave to protest against Israeli attacks on Sheikh Jarrah and occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds, where Israeli settlers and forces have been attacking Palestinians, trying to evict them from their homes over the past days, while Palestinians in Gaza keep saying through statements by resistance factions that they will not sit idle while the Israeli regime attack the brethren and occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds. There is a possibility that escalation will happen in the coming hours or days, as the Israeli regime seems adamant on evicting those nearly 500 Palestinians or 500 families from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem al-Quds.
Many thanks. That's Ashraf Shannon, our man in the Gaza Strip, with that update. I appreciate it. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, who gave us an update on the latest clashes between Palestinians and Israeli forces in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds.
Well, the clashes have renewed in Jerusalem al-Quds and around the Al-Aqsa Mosque, mainly at the Bab al-Amud area, or what's known as the Damascus Gate. The Iranic recent said that 53 Palestinians, the recent information we got that 53 Palestinians were wounded. The majority have been shot by rubber-coated bullets, and others were seriously defeated by the Israeli forces. Also, three Palestinians were arrested during these clashes. We have to say that Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, following an urgent meeting for the military establishment, they decided to deploy more soldiers and forces in Jerusalem al-Quds, in the old town of the city, and at the entrances to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Following the Isha prayers and the Taraweeh, the Israeli police officers stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex in order to force the people out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. They clashed with the Palestinians there. Today also, buses bringing Palestinians from areas occupied in 1948 were stopped by the Israeli soldiers, and they ordered the drivers to return back. However, the Palestinians decided to march on foot to enter Jerusalem al-Quds despite the ban by the Israeli forces.
The Turkish president has condemned what he calls Israel's merciless and unethical attacks in Jerusalem al-Quds.
The cruel terror state of Israel is mercilessly and unethically attacking Muslims in Jerusalem, whose only goal is to defend their beliefs and their homes of thousands of years.
Also in a tweet, Erdogan said Ankara strongly condemns Israel's, quote, abominable attacks on Al-Aqsa Mosque, which are carried out every Ramadan. He said his country will continue to be at the side of the Palestinians in all circumstances. Erdogan called Israel a cruel terrorist over its crackdown in Al-Quds. Meanwhile, Turkish protesters gathered in Ankara in solidarity with Palestinians injured in Al-Aqsa clashes. Chanting slogans, the demonstrators gathered outside the Israeli diplomatic missions despite a coronavirus lockdown. The protests in Ankara came after tensions flared across Al-Quds. Clashes broke out on Friday night when Israeli forces prevented Palestinian worshippers from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Meanwhile, the four members of the so-called Middle East Quartet have reacted to the violence in Al-Quds. In a statement, the U.S., Russia, the European Union, and the U.N. expressed deep concern over the daily clashes and violence in East Al-Quds, in particular, the Friday night clashes. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have vowed to adopt retaliatory measures against the Israeli regime's latest atrocities in Jerusalem al-Quds. Ruba Shabit reports.
The Democratic Front for Liberation of Palestine held a press conference warning that Israeli regime will face retaliatory measures over its ongoing attacks in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip marked Saturday as a day of popular rage along the border fence, where the resistance announced a return of military clashes with the Israeli army and firing incendiary balloons toward Israel in response to the crimes committed in Jerusalem al-Quds.
What is happening in Jerusalem al-Quds is systematic apartheid policy that aims to demolish the Palestinian cause. The recent eviction of Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah is totally refused by Palestinians. So the resistance in Gaza announces the return of clashes on the borders and calls for a new uprising if these violations continue.
In a recent speech, resistance leaders warned that Israel should bear the responsibility over the recent attacks against Palestinian residents in occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds, saying the resistance is ready to defend Jerusalem with all means.
We hold the Israeli regime responsible for the consequences of the crimes in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance won't sit idle against the killing and eviction of Palestinians. Jerusalem is our red line. All Palestinian groups are united in responding to these crimes, and the response will be heavy.
Palestinians called on the international community and all Muslim nations to support Palestinians and do actions to stop the Israeli violations of Palestinians and the ongoing attacks of the holy places in Jerusalem.
Palestinians are all united in the face of these Israeli crimes. We are calling on Islamic nations to stand by Palestinians and stop these Israeli violations. Our main goal is protection of the holy city.
Palestinian worshippers clashed with the Israeli regime late Friday at Al-Aqsa Mosque in an escalation of weeks of violence in Jerusalem. Palestinian resistance here holds the Israeli regime responsible for the attacks against Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds, announcing they are ready to respond. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
Leaders of the Islamic community residing in Italy have commemorated Al-Quds Day by holding a video conference on the significance of the Palestinian struggle. This comes as the indifference of international media towards the Palestinian cause grows exponentially by the day.
Muslims across Italy have virtually observed and taken part in the International Al-Quds Day on Saturday, the day after the last Friday in the holy month of Ramadan. A commemoration was held in the form of a video conference titled Jerusalem Al-Quds. The initiative was attended by authoritative figures from the Islamic community in Italy. The virtual gathering sent out a strong message of undivided solidarity with the people of Palestine in demanding self-determination, independence, and dignity.
Since 1948, the Zionist entity has embarked on a program of oppression of Palestinians, cancellation of our history, culture, art, and architecture, a program of ethnic cleansing. Jerusalem is our stronghold and the capital of Palestine. It's time for the international community to address the normalization deals signed by some Arab countries, which is an act of war against us.
Video conference speakers stressed the fact that as the occupation in Palestinian territories continues, the Israeli occupiers are annexing more areas, killing more civilians, crushing all political resistance, and shutting down free press. This comes amid the growing indifference of the international community.
The Italian media have increasingly failed to report on the Palestinian struggle over the past years. On Thursday, the Italian Foreign Minister Luigi Di Maio met with his Palestinian counterpart Riyad Maliki in Rome, but the encounter went utterly unnoticed by the media.
Over the past years, we have recorded a growing lack of attention to the Palestinian struggle. There appears to be a plan to eradicate humanity from our existence. It is so much easier to control people with no humanity, and the COVID crisis has made this process much smoother.
Al-Quds Day was first introduced by Ayatollah Khomeini in 1979 and has become an annual affirmation of the Muslims' solidarity with the people of Palestine in the struggle for the liberation of Jerusalem Al-Quds. Max Civili, Rome.
The Scottish First Minister vows to press ahead with an independence vote as she won a fourth term in office.
Westminster knows my view on these things. The timing of an independence referendum now should be a matter for the Scottish Parliament. It should be for the judgment of the Parliament to consider the position with COVID and when the Parliament considers that the time is right to have that referendum. That is not a decision for Boris Johnson or for any Westminster politician. And of course, my immediate job...
Nicola Sturgeon made the comments as her Scottish National Party secured 64 seats in a 129-member parliament. A ruling party fell one seat short of gaining the parliamentary majority. The pro-independence Scottish Greens also won 8 seats. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has vowed to block a second independence plebiscite. A 2014 referendum saw the pro-independence camp lose with a narrow margin. Thousands of Portuguese have rallied on the streets of the northwestern city of Porto to protest against unemployment, job insecurity, and low wages. The demonstration came on the sidelines of the second day of a European Union summit hosted by the Portuguese city and amid Portugal's worsening unemployment rate. Around 1 in 5 workers in the country have been laid off since the pandemic began. Meanwhile, the EU summit plans to discuss social issues with a commitment to an inclusive, that is, recovery from the bloc's record recession triggered by the health crisis. Now, thousands of Colombians living in the Spanish capital, Madrid, have held a protest against Colombia's President Iván Duque and police violence in the Latin American country. Demonstrators marched to the Spanish Foreign Ministry and chanted slogans against the Colombian government. They called for the resignation of Duque. Some of the Madrid residents also took part in the Saturday rally. Colombia was rocked last week by protests over a government plan to raise sales taxes. The proposal was canceled after 5 days of deadly protests. But protesters are now demanding a basic income and the withdrawal of a long-debated health reform bill, which critics say is too vague to correct inequalities. Human Rights Watch says 36 people have been killed since protests began in Colombia. And that's it with international news.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The Month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. Among the most important effects of the blessed month of Ramadan is the spiritual calm. Fasting, especially in Ramadan, causes calm for a person in two ways. Firstly, it helps him to be patient. A patient person who controls his desires and tries to follow wisdom. Such a person will not give in to difficulties and hardships. Secondly, fasting is a kind of practical remembrance of God and, as the Noble Quran says, God's remembrance is the only source of calm. Fasting is a worship that causes internal joy. There are two kinds of joy, namely material and spiritual. For sure, spiritual joys are more lasting and effective, while material joys are short-lived and sometimes even harmful. There are many rich and even super rich people who are not satisfied with what they have. On the contrary, many poor people may live happily due to the fact that they fulfill their duties toward God and society and try to help other fellow humans. The faithful feel very happy only when they obey God's commands. Those who fast in Ramadan feel a deep joy at the moment of iftar or breaking the fast because they have obeyed what God has commanded. Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, says in this regard, there are two joys for a fasting person, at the time of iftar and when meeting God. Now, let us discuss the injunctions of fasting for a traveler. If a person travels in the month of Ramadan, he cannot fast provided that he travels before the Azan of Zuhr or noon ritual prayer. So, if he travels after the Azan, he cannot break that day's fast and his fast is correct. However, if a person decides to stay for at least 10 days in the destination, his fast is correct too. Dear friends, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, a supplicant without deed is like an archer without a bow. The Prophet means that without doing our duties, it is useless to pray. The Prophet's fifth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, also says, sometimes a servant asks something from God, and his demand deserves to be fulfilled either immediately or with delay. Then he commits a sin and God orders an angel, do not fulfill his demand and deprive him of fulfillment because he has caused my wrath and deprivation from my grace and nobility. As we see, righteous deed is like a ladder whereby supplication and prayer ascends to the divine court. So, even if this righteous deed is done, a sin may shake the ladder and cause the deed to collapse. On the eve of the 26th of Ramadan, this supplication has been recommended to recite. O this possessor of the night and the day as two signs, O one who fated the sign of night and made the sign of day bright so that people seek sustenance and your satisfaction in it. O elaborator of everything I detail, O majestic, O granter, O God, O generous, O God, O God, O God, the best names, the loftiest parables and grandeur and bounties belong to you. I ask you to bless Muhammad and his progeny and place my name on this night among the successful and my spirit with the martyrs and my good deed at the highest point of paradise and my evil deeds forgiven. And I plead to you to grant me certitude which accompanies with my heart and faith, which takes doubt away from me and make me satisfied with what you have distributed for me, and give us good in the world and good in the hereafter, and guard us against the punishment of burning fire, and give me as sustenance on this night your remembrance and your gratitude and enthusiasm toward you, and returning to you and assisting me in what you have assisted Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad, greetings to him and them.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us contemplate on a short but sweet saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The tongue is a wild beast. When it's let loose, it devours.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin la siyama baqiyyatillahi fil aradin ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa ja'alana min a'wanihi wa ansarihi wa shi'atih. We've been studying different characteristics of the community of Ahlul Bayt, and we said, based on the Quran and Hadith, a very important characteristic is to enjoin the good and prohibit the bad. Rasulullah is the one who asks people to do good things, right things, and keep away from bad things. Those things which are pleasant, he said, it is halal, it's permissible, you can eat, you can drink, you can do. Those things which are bad, you don't like, you don't do it. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهَا. Rasulullah is a man who has come to liberate humanity. Humanity in the time of Jahiliyyah was under pressure, under burden. Ignorance, superstitious ideas, shirk, the politics of Quraysh, which wanted to enslave people and benefit from them to serve them, were making too much pressure on humanity. They were chained up. They were not able to move. They were not able to breathe. They were not able to understand. They were not even able to have education. The number of people who were able to read and write in that society was less than fingers of one person. The way they treated women, the way they treated children, slaves, visitors, all of them are well documented in the books. So people were suffering. Rasulullah came as a person who wanted to liberate people.
he didn't come to put pressure on people. You know, unfortunately, sometimes either because we have not been introduced Islam in a proper way, or, you know, we are misinformed, we think that if you follow Islam, then you are very restricted. Islam is restricting you. Islam is against your freedom and liberty. This is not the case. Islam has come to free us, to liberate us. And Rasulullah is the pioneer in liberating humanity. Who is more free than Salman, than Abu Zar, than Ammar, than companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Imam Hussein said, I want to offer you freedom. Kunu ahraran fi dunya. Amirul Mu'minin said, La takun abda ghayrik, qad ja'alaka Allahu hurra. Do not be a slave of someone who is like you. Another person who is like you. Allah has created you free. Islam gives us freedom. What is freedom? Some people, you know, make a mistake here. Once I read this on a magazine, I very much liked it. It was actually a Christian magazine, but it was very nice. It said, freedom is not to be able to do what you like. Freedom is to be able to do what you should do. What I should do for my benefit, for my family, for my society, what I should do, if I am able to do, that is freedom. If you don't let me to do what I am benefiting from, so I have no freedom. But if I say freedom is to do what I like, okay, there are many mischief that I may like to do. This is not freedom.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
So Rasulullah came to free people so that they do what they should do, what they can benefit from, what can give them happiness in dunya and akhirah. So yada'u anhum israhum wal aghlal allati kanat, all the chains and locks which were chaining up humanity, Rasulullah removed them. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَأَهْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those who believe in this man of virtue, man of makarim al-akhlaq, man of freedom, and help him and support him and follow what? Follow the book which has been sent with him, the Quran, which is light. وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورِ. This Quran is light. These are the people who are happy. These are the people who have had falah and salvation. May Allah inshallah include us among them. So, ma'roof is something which is good, which is right, which is supposed to be done, and munkar is opposite. Of course, after you receive guidance from Islam, after you are introduced to Sharia, you can have much more elaborate account and understanding of ma'ruf. You can have a detailed account of ma'ruf and munkar from Sharia. That helps us to refine and get more accurate understanding of Sharia. So now I want to refer to the section on Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar in the manual. All our maraja have this in their risala, and but this is according to Ayatollah Sistani, hafazahullah. So he starts with an introduction, and he says Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar are two of the greatest obligations. Two of the greatest religious obligations. Then he refers to the ayah that we discussed, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرُ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then he quotes a hadith from Rasulullah. You know, when a marja quotes a hadith, it's very important. It means that this hadith is 100% verified by marja. لَا تَزَالْ أُمَّتِي بِخَيْرُ مَا أَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. Rasulullah said, my community, my nation will be always in right condition as long as they do Amr al-Ma'ruf and they prohibit Munkar and help each other to do good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ. They help each other, they assist each other for doing good. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. If they don't do this, نُزِعَتْ عَنْهُمُ الْبَرَكَاتِ. Allah will take away His blessing. Then you would see there would be poverty. There would be so many disasters. There would be tyrant governments. وَسَلَّتَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ نَاصِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Then Allah will make bad people rule them. Then they would have no helper in on this earth nor in the sky.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe as hard, and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraje, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and all of Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraje who are alive. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say. Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
The light.
A recently installed pizza making machine is pitting itself against masterful chefs in the Italian capital, Rome. The tall red machine has become a head turner in the city, which is famous for its pizza, one of Italy's most iconic traditional dishes. The customers get to choose among four types of pizzas plus a drink. A few minutes after placing your order, you'll receive the dish on a platter fresh out of the oven. But Italians say the pizza cannot compete with those made traditionally.
The true pizza is made from a wood oven. I wouldn't even take into consideration eating a pizza from a machine.
So far, the reception from people has been far from favorable. However, some say the final product can be acceptable considering its price or if you are in a hurry. As many countries accelerate their coronavirus vaccination programs, life is gradually getting back to normal. Now, residents of a nursing home in the Spanish capital, Madrid, finally get a chance to go out after months of isolation. Around 50 elderly residents and staff from two care homes went on an excursion to the Madrid Zoo after they were vaccinated against COVID-19. They visited some of the park's inhabitants, from pandas to elephants, while sitting on a miniature train. They hailed the idea, saying they were bored with staying at the nursing home with no visitors.
It's good to leave, to break the monotony of the nursing home, especially as we have been confined there for so long. It's nice to get outside, so I decided to go out and see the world.
The director of the care home believes the experience makes the residents forget about their pains. Around 43,000 seniors died of COVID-19 during the first wave of the pandemic in Spain. The elderly population was among the first group to receive coronavirus vaccines in the country. Now, looking for a cheaper and more sustainable alternative to traditional lawn mowers. Ship may be the answer. Researchers at the University of California, Davis, have embarked on a project to test the effectiveness of sheep as new lawn mowers. The project includes 25 sheep of four different breeds. They are going to graze on a one-acre plot of pasture for 3 days. The process will be repeated after a month.
The sheep have been used for a couple of things. So they're as good as goats in reducing down the vegetation. So in areas where there is, it doesn't just have to be a lawn. If they're in their areas where there's overgrown and you've got sort of those higher fuel ladders, they can eat that down. But what they also do, so they can cut that out, but then they also can come around and after there's been a fire, they're really good at eating the weeds that come up initially, the weeds that we don't want, those invasive weeds.
Researchers believe that the initiative also has an environmental impact. With fewer mowers, there might be less emission. They also hope using sheep will help increase natural fertilization and nutrient levels.
Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering to the environment. Bolivians have launched a nationwide campaign aimed at protecting the country's scenic spots and waterways from human waste. Hundreds of volunteers were seen cleaning up the Valley of the Souls near La Paz, which is famous for its unusual razor-sharp rock formations. The volunteers, aided by heavy machinery, managed to collect over 15 tons of plastic waste and construction rubble from the rocky canyon. Activist Carola says people needed to speak up more in defense of the nature, which is increasingly coming under threat.
It is incredible how we can find jewels like this painting amid all these piles of rubble and garbage, and we are surprised and ask, what is going on with nature? It is a tourist place where many people come. The Valley of the Souls is very special, and many people have gathered together here to be a voice for nature and to get it the care and respect it deserves.
Last month, the campaign also cleared the highland lake of Uru in western Bolivia, which is said to be full of more plastic than water. Campaigners say they will continue their efforts until no place with garbage is left in the country. exhibition in the Belgian province of Walloon-Brabant has put on display several objects belonging to French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. A belt with the word Waterloo written on it, a flintlock pistol, Napoleon's shoe, bathtub, clothes, and several other objects are all displayed in the exhibition. Many of the items are brought from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. The curators say the exhibition aims to show Napoleon's daily life and the way he lived. Earlier this week, an auction was set up in France offering Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, estimated to be sold for $18,000. May 5th marks the 200th anniversary of Napoleon's death.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
People always try to find new ways to connect and support each other at the moment of crisis. A young Indian is one such example who is saving lives by providing free oxygen to coronavirus patients. A 32-year-old Shanawaz Sheikh is a resident of India's commercial hub, Mumbai. He launched the campaign during the first wave of the pandemic when his friend's cousin died of COVID-19 on the way to hospital. Now popularly known as Oxygen Man, Shanawaz sold his car last June and used the money to buy oxygen cylinders for those in need. He and his team have now set up a control room to deliver oxygen to patients. They send the cylinder as soon as they receive a call from a COVID patient or a family.
Without oxygen, a patient can't live. They need it very badly, even in the ambulance on the way to hospital. If Shanawaz wasn't helping, patients would likely not even make it to hospitals. They would die on the way.
Shanawaz says his team helped nearly 5,000 people during the first wave of the pandemic last year and is planning to help as many as possible during the second wave. His initiative is earning him much praise on social media, with many calling Shanawaz and his team real heroes during the crisis.
Archaeologists have found a meaning for mysterious new findings in a cave in Mexico. They believe they are part of ancient Maya rituals. Around 1,200 years ago, some people imprinted their hands on the cave walls. The 137 prints are in two colors, black and red. Experts say the black ones represent death, while the red paintings are a reference to war or life. An analysis of their size also shows that the handprints were likely made by children as they entered puberty. The subterranean cavern, called Chichen Itza, is located nearly 10 meters below a tree, which Mayans assume sacred. Little hotels for little bees. In Colombia, wooden structures are built for the insects to rest after a hard day. The Oporo Valley Metropolitan Authority has installed the hexagon-shaped rooms for bees of all shapes and sizes. Every day, volunteers clean the bamboo hotel with paintbrushes. Designers say the bee hotels are made to protect some species that are more vulnerable.
These little bees are supremely sensitive to poisons, and since they don't produce honey, no one speaks up for them. So we're coming to the rescue.
Designers say bees are losing their habitat all over the world, so the hotels could be a means of survival. Colombia has registered 550 varieties of bees within its borders. In Britain, a revolutionary idea might change many things in regard to maritime boarding operations. A jet suit. This is what the Royal Marines are testing in a variety of scenarios. Wearing the jet suit, each person can fly freely over the water and land on a moving ship. Its developer company, Gravity Industries, says the suit provides quick access to any part of a target vessel. Previously, British paramedics had tested the unique product for search and rescue operations. The suit can reach a speed of 51 kilometers and a height of over 3,600 meters. Now, the 200th death anniversary of French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte has brought a unique opportunity for private collectors to buy his DNA. The auction offers Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, which is estimated to be sold for $18,000. The collection will also include a lock of the French Emperor's hair, a pair of his stockings, a shirt with an embroidered letter N, and other items of clothing.
In my opinion, Napoleon was the first to want to create a Napoleon brand, even when he was alive. He created an image, a symbol, a look, with his hat worn in reverse. It was a very ordinary hat, an ordinary coat, but he was a very good communicator, and he created his image. So generation after generation, we kept this image of Napoleon, his hat, and this contributed to the myth. But it was Napoleon who wanted from the beginning to create an image, a look.
Nearly 360 objects will go under the hammer in the upcoming auction. Many of the items are brought back from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. Historians say his belongings have sparked the passion of collectors in France and other parts of the world. Several years ago, one of the French emperor's signature Mikon hats was sold to a Korean food industry mogul for more than $2 million.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Washington, London, France, and Berlin, which cry hoarse over the trials and imprisonment of traitors, spies, smugglers, professional murderers, and all other criminals in countries refusing to kowtow to the West, never speak about the prison term that continues to be arbitrarily extended without trial for Sheikh Ali Salman, the head of Bahrain's Al-Wefaq Party and the elected opposition leader of the unconstitutionally dissolved parliament. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by the staff of Kayhan International. This article is published under the heading Plight of a Forgotten Nation. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. Not a day passes when the so-called human rights organizations and the regimes of the West which claim to be champions of democracy, accuse free and independent nations of suppressing what they call civil liberties. But when it comes to the plight of people groaning under the jackboots of dictators supported by the US and Britain, they simply turn a blind eye. This is not just the height of hypocrisy, but a clear proof of politicizing of human rights. And the most glaring example in this regard is the worsening plight of the people of the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom of Bahrain. For the past 10 years, religious leaders, parliamentarians, social activists, journalists, doctors, engineers, athletes, artists, students, businessmen, farmers, fishermen, and people of various walks of life, including pensioners, underage children, and even housewives, have been imprisoned and deprived of the basic birthrights. Yet, there is no word of protest for the sufferings of these innocent souls solely because the repressive Ali Khalifa minority regime sits cozily in the laps of the Americans and the British. And now, the Zionists. Washington, London, France, and Berlin, which cry horse over the trials and imprisonment of traitors, spies, smugglers, professional murderers, and other criminals in countries refusing to kowtow to the West, never speak about the prison term that continues to be arbitrarily extended without trial for Sheikh Ali Salman. The head of Bahrain's Al-Wefaq party and the elected opposition leader of the unconstitutionally dissolved parliament. Even those Bahrainis who had become naturalized citizens of European countries and are now languishing in jails on visit to their homeland have been left to their fate because their freedom and demand for establishment of democracy in Bahrain doesn't suit the devilish designs of London in the Persian Gulf, or, for that matter, of Washington, which has provocatively stationed in its Fifth Fleet in Manama. Names that come to mind are the internationally acclaimed human rights activist Nabil Rajab, the 73-year-old Hassan Moshaima suffering from various ailments including heart disease and cancer, Abdulhadi Al-Khawaja, engineer Abdul Jalil Singas, and scores of other prominent persons, some of them for life. They're all crammed into unhygienic cells in the notorious COVID-infested Joe prison without any medical treatment, and are moreover subjected to torture. Recently, the families of several prisoners complained of mistreatment of their jailed sons and husbands, but their peaceful pleas fell on deaf ears amid fears that these innocent women might also be whisked away to prison in a land where there is no respect for human rights. As a matter of fact, there is an organized violation of human rights by the Ali Khalifa regime under supervision of torture experts from the US, Britain, and the Zionist regime. Such a suffocating situation will definitely lead to transformation of the present peaceful protest to an armed struggle by the people of Bahrain for materialization of their denied rights. When the simmering volcano erupts, the repressive regime will be swept into the dustbin of history.